Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round 2 recap for this week's Farmers Insurance Open. A cut has been made. Everybody is headed back to the South Course, and Kyle Porter is here to help me break it all down. KP, hello.
Back-to-back days.
How about it?
What a week.
We're getting into a groove.
That's great. I love it. I love talking golf with you, as always. Kind of a weird leaderboard. You know, I think of Torrey in my head as being a great tournament, and you know, historically it has been. This is not a leaderboard that you would associate with a great tournament at the halfway point.
Yeah, not yet, but it is. It's a universal. It's a worldwide leaderboard, all with inside the top 10. I see Germany, Denmark, Belgium, France, England, Argentina, Korea, Canada, United States. I think I got them all.
Yeah, I mean, top 4 are all non-American and all from different countries.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get to those guys in just a second. But so we did the flip today, right? Guys from the north yesterday went to the south, south to the north. Yesterday was about a 2.5 stroke difference. Today was about a 3 stroke difference. So if you were going to the south course, you were trying to hold on. If you made up anything under par, you were making up great ground on the field. But now we're level. Everybody's played around at both of these, and it's the south from here on out.
Yeah, and I think you know, it was all about Højgaard today, in terms of what was he going to do on the north. And I thought he did basically what he needed to do to, he's the guy that really stands out to me at the top of this leaderboard. Rick is like, I haven't looked, I don't know if he's the favorite, but I think he should be, just because he's special. Like the other guys are obviously very good players, but I think Højgaard has a chance to be like top 10 and top 5 in the world type player. And I thought he did what he needed to do on Thursday in the second round.
Well, let's just dive right into it then. 67 in round 1, 66 in round 2. He played the North Course today and he did what he had to do. To Kyle's point, it was a bogey free 6 under 66, 4 straight on 4, 5, 6, and 7. 2 more on the back, but he did not even make birdie on either of the par 5s on the back. You could argue that he left a couple of out there, but at the halfway point, KP, this is certainly plenty.
Yeah, he actually said that after his round. I was reading his transcript. He said it could have been lower. I think he made 3 pars, excuse me, on the par 5s. He parred 9 also, which is, you know, somebody like him normally would take advantage of those, but he's playing great. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, maybe we talked about this yesterday, I can't remember, but he was coming from Dubai, didn't see the course because they started so early, and just that's a brutal jet lag trip to only have basically 2 days or whatever it was to get to kind of adjust to the West Coast. So I don't know if 23-year-olds have an issue with jet lag the way that you and I do, but it's something to keep an eye on, I think, as the week wears on.
Yeah, I'd be taking naps in between shots if I was right now. He is 1 shot off the lead. He's in at 11 under par, so that tells you the lead is at 12 under. We'll talk about that guy in just a second. Thomas Dietrich is in at 10 under par. So he's two shots off the lead. He's in a tie for third. He went 66-68. He played the South course today, so the more difficult side, and posted a four under round. So that is gaining a lot of strokes to the field. And he now puts himself in a position to be in the mix over the final 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, it was for the South course, it was impressive. Somebody shot, Matthew Pavon shot 7 under on the South.
65, best round of the week so far on the South.
Yeah, that's crazy. But Dietrich is right there. I mean, to do this, you know, I think with the South course, you just have it would be unexpected for somebody to kind of pop up after playing okay on the North course, and then to pop up like this is it's kind of just a bonus. So I don't know. I mean, to me, his ceiling is not career-wise is obviously not as high as a Højgaard. I would group more with the other two guys in the top four of this board as like good, but not necessarily a potential superstar. So we'll see. He's obviously playing very well so far.
Tony Finau lurking right there in a tie for fifth, probably one of the bigger names to be just outside that lead after 36 holes. 69-66 for him, that 66 today on the North course. Just one blemish. It was on the 13th hole. That was his fourth hole of the day. But I thought Tony was kind of starting to put things together in recent weeks. He's generally played well here in the past, and now he's going to get another run at this thing.
I think one thing that's interesting, Rick, I was actually looking at this the other day. I think it was in my research for this tournament. His distance has really fallen off over the last, 2 years, 3 years, something like that, mm-hmm. Which I'm speaking statistically because you watch him and you don't really think there's a ton different, but you look at the numbers and he's still an above average driver in terms of distance, but it's not the Rory DJ, you know, I don't know who else you Rom type numbers that you would, I think that I thought I was going to see or that you would traditionally see from a Finau. And he actually spoke a little bit to this after his round, because so far this year, his numbers have been back up. Have you noticed this? Have you?
I haven't noticed it this year, but I noticed it either last year or the year before, where he used to be routinely inside the top, call it 10 or 15 in driving distance. And then he would start to be like 50th, 60th, something like that, which is not, it's not a huge drop off, but it's pretty noticeable. When you're a top 10 player in any category, it's like an elite statistic for you. So I noticed it a couple years ago. I have not looked at it here for this year yet.
So he's been back up and he's like top 15 or something this week. He said, but he was asked about this, not this specific question, but he was just asked about distance after his round. He said, I don't need to swing hard. I know I have a lot in the tank, but with the mechanics I have and the body that I have, there's no reason why I shouldn't be in the low to mid 80s on my stock driver. He means like 180 ball speed.
Right.
We're to that now, which is a nice feeling where I don't feel like I have to get on it to get to that speed. And it's paid off. And on a golf course like this, I'm able to kind of let it go on some of these holes. So I thought that was interesting because I don't know. I would be interesting to ask him more about that. Like, did you sort of dial it back and try to raise that baseline, knowing that maybe your play would suffer at least just a little bit in the interim? Or was it a trying to preserve your body type thing? I thought that was interesting. And I think, you know, to me, it says we could be in for a little bit of a Finau rebound year. I don't know what the top of that could look like, but he's played very well so far this year. And I think I don't know who the favorite is, but I would put him in the top three based on the halfway point.
For perspective, so far this year, tour average ball speed is 172 miles an hour. Tony Finau sitting at 181. That's that low 80s that he's referencing there. And it's currently ninth on tour this year. It's a young year, but it's very early.
What's your ball speed, Rick?
I would tell you that I sit at about 150.
Okay.
The fastest one I've ever recorded is 160.
Okay.
And I tried my best.
Yeah. It makes you like, when you go after a drive, you're like, I don't understand how these guys hit 200.
Yeah. What about, I've actually dialed back how fast I swing. So I would like to kind of sit like 100 to 105 swing speed, somewhere near like a 148 smash gets me to like 145, 150 miles an hour.
What was the first part of that?
My club head speed is like 100 to 105.
Okay. And then 148 smash gets
me to like it's anywhere between like 145 and 150 ball speed.
Which is like plenty, right? For what we're doing.
I need to keep it in play. I don't care if it was 130. Do you know? I mean, I imagine when you get one, you freaking smoke it.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm like sit at. I think it's like 160, between 160 and 165, I would say.
Okay.
And then if I go after one, I've gotten it up to like high 170s before.
Yeah, I can see that.
You catch one there and you're like, oh, that's a little different. But the crazy part about that, and part of the reason I bring it up is because like that's what these guys like live at, right? And you're like, I'm like empty in the tank, and Finau's like just kind of hanging out there.
When I hit 160, I was like, okay, where are the local long drive qualifiers at? Because I'm in, baby.
And then I watched this Bryson video the other day, and he's like hitting 206 with range balls.
Yeah.
He's carrying range balls 375. Like if he hits the right launch angle, and you're like, I don't understand how your body does that.
He's working with he's working with Crank now, the long drive drivers. I think they're much more willing to do some stuff that maybe Cobra wasn't. Or was it Cobra was he playing before?
Yeah. Thought he was the driver sucks.
Yeah, that didn't particularly. Okay. Real quick, because he's just always here, Xander Schauffele. So he goes 69, 68. He's in at 7 under. He's going to be 5 shots off the lead. He is currently in a tie for 10th. I just feel like when we do the recap tomorrow, he's going to be in a tie for 10th. And when we do the recap on Sunday, he's going to be in a tie for 10th. And we're going to say, wow, this is a million in a row. Congratulations. Cash a check. I don't know.
Yeah, just like, I don't know. Like lead at the halfway point. You know? I don't know the answer. You might know the answer. I wonder how many times in his career he's led at the halfway point. I could pull up after the...
I can get it here quickly. Go ahead. Finish okay. Finish that thought and give me like 30 seconds.
Well, it a little bit annoys me that he's always just kind of like there. And I get it. I'm a little bit speaking out of both sides of my mouth because I've been a big proponent of, hey, you just need to hang around. You'll run into some wins. But man, like just go like take hold of the tournament. If you're really the guy that everybody purports you to be, and like you're like, are you the guy or not, you know? And I don't know, it feels like it's kind of soft. I don't know, that's not, I'm not even making sense, but do you get what I'm saying?
I do. Do you want to guess? So these are 36 hole leads or co-leads in his PGA Tour career. How many?
I don't think it's that many.
He's probably played how many events?
200 or something. I would say like seven.
Six.
Okay.
And one of them is the Zurich Classic with Patrick Cantlay, which I don't
there think we go. Counts. I was actually going to say five, which technically would have been correct, I guess.
Travelers in 2022, he went on to win. Zurich Classic with Patrick Cantlay in 2022, they went on to win. 2021 Phoenix Open and 2020 CJ Cup, as well as 2020 Tournament of Champions, he finished second in all of those. And then the 2018 BMW, he finished third. So he's converted 2 of 6, 1 of 5 as a single.
Yeah, 1 of 5 is whatever. Like those are hard to do. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm more being critical of like, get in that position more often. You know, do you have third round leads? Do you, can you pull that up?
Yeah. So
Xander, I bet that's pretty low too.
Xander Schauffele lead or co-lead after 54. So, you know, okay. So, you know, he had 36 hole leads.
Yeah.
He has 6 54
hole. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's, I don't know. That's seven. Kind of my,
sorry. Go ahead. It was seven. Sorry. I missed that.
Which is, yeah, that's okay, I guess. I mean, I'd be interested to compare it to kind of his contemporary. Can you pull up like Justin Thomas or, I don't know, Morikawa even? Morikawa's played so many fewer events.
You want Morikawa or you want Thomas?
Do Morikawa.
So you want 54 or 36?
Do 54, because I think that's more of like, you know, it's 36 is hard to defend. If you're leading after 54, you can kind of control the tournament with what you do on Sunday.
I think you'd be surprised by this.
Okay.
Four.
Okay.
And one win.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
What's JT?
Yeah.
Now JT's more in the range of, JT's probably played more events than Xander, but not a ton more.
Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah. So,
and he's won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them.
That's who he is, right? And to me, this is kind of who Xander is. I didn't mean to make this like a whole Xander thing, but it just is like, you hear guys talk about him. I've heard so many, Phil and Max and all these guys, they talk about him like, oh, you guys don't understand this guy. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, how many, it's been 7 years.
Yeah, it is interesting. Patrick calls him wet socks, but
which is weird and funny.
We will continue this conversation. We will get to the guy at the top, and we will get to some guys who will not be around for the weekends. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back. KP, it's Pavon, it's Højgaard, it's Dietrich, it's Finau, it's everybody else chasing down Steven Yeager at 12 under par. He was in the mix for the entirety of round one, the entirety of round two, but he goes off and birdies his second to last hole of the day, makes eagle on his final hole of the day, so plays his last two at three under, leapfrogs everybody, and posts 12 when it was looking like he was going to be part of that chase pack.
Yeah, I mean, to do this on the South is crazy. Wait, this is Yeager. I thought we were talking about Pavon. To do this on the North is crazy, right? Eight under. I mean, that was the part that I didn't really see coming, is I thought that Højgaard had a chance to go out and kind of take hold of the tournament by shooting what he did. And I didn't see him getting lapped by somebody shooting 64 with a bogey, which is crazy. That's really impressive.
He has made, I believe this is now 20 straight cuts. And he has been piling up top 30 finishes. Greg and I often on Monday kind of question what his ceiling is, because he doesn't have a lot, if any, top five finishes on the PGA Tour. So maybe we will get a glimpse into said ceiling this weekend, or maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, the win equity for me is just not there with him, right? Good player, but just kind of the Shotgun Start boys call him a quadruple A player, right? Where it's like he's way too good. He wins on the Corn Ferry. He's way too good for the Corn Ferry, but he's not quite good enough for the majors. I mean, in terms of winning.
We will quickly here get to Matthew Pavon, because he does have the round of the week on the South course. It was birdies on 5, 7, 8, 10. That's a good run. And then 13, 14, 15, 18. He did sprinkle in one bogey on 12. That is just one of the hardest holes on the PGA Tour, so it's not even really that big of a deal. And now Pavon is tied for third, up 31 spots on the leaderboard and two shots off the pace.
Yeah, this was the round that I was thinking of. He shot 65 with a bogey on the South course. That's crazy. Like, that's insane. He popped up. Where was it? He won, didn't he, in the fall on the European Tour?
Yes, he won. I can pull it up for you, but I want to say it wasn't the French Open, because that would have been a bigger deal if he won that. I'll find out for
sure. But yeah, he's playing very good golf. I don't know. I think looking at all these guys, you're like, I don't know. There's nobody that jumps out where you're like, this guy's going to emerge over the next 2 days and really, you know, go out and grab this golf tournament. Other than a Højgaard, I could see a Finau. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, the other three guys at the top, I don't know what they do for me in terms of being excited about them.
A four-shot victory at the Open de España in October was the win that we were looking for. Okay, so those are the guys that are going to be in the mix this weekend. Guys that will not be in the mix this weekend. Let's start with Colin Morikawa, because this was pretty ugly. 67 on the North course yesterday, very much in the mix. 75 on the South course today. South course is hard, not that hard. A double on 7, a double on 17, bogeys on 1, 10, 11 seemed very much out of whack. Just not good.
No, and I don't think I saw this coming. He was great here last year. He's been playing very well, and he just, it wasn't good, and it was, to me, it's unexpected. I don't know. Like, were you surprised by it?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, especially after what he did yesterday. And I thought that, like, okay, you're playing lift clean in place. He's going to hit every single fairway and it's going to be all good. He just wasn't sharp enough at the South course. He was very bad with the putter, which is not that big of a surprise, but he drove it poorly as well. And if he starts missing fairways and starts getting him in spots of bother off the tee, the South course is just infinitely harder for him because he doesn't have like that club head speed to get it through the rough. So out of position and just made a bunch of compounding errors.
I had a great, my parlay this week was Morikawa, Sungjae, and Homa to finish in the top 20. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so. I do not think so.
Come on, man. He doesn't miss cuts. He was my one and done. And the last cut he missed, Rick, was July, the 3M, I think. And I mean, he didn't play well yesterday. That was kind of where he lost. He shot one over on the South course. He played okay today, but that was a bummer because he doesn't do that. And he's the kind of guy, like, if he gets to Saturday or to the third round, whatever day we're on, he's going to finish in the top 15. Like, you play enough holes and he will ball strike his way into that top 15, top 20.
Finally, before we get to the betting favorites, hat tip to Eric Cole. The fifth longest made cut streak on the PGA Tour is over. Back-to-back rounds of 74. It's not good at the South course. It's definitely not good at the North course. Eric Cole, a tie for 142nd, and finally a week in which he is not in the mix.
Excuse me. Hat tip to Will Zalatoris, too.
Yeah.
Didn't he make it?
I think he
made it on the
3-under, yeah.
Yeah, on the number. Yeah, that was good to see. He made a decent putt on the last hole to get into Friday, to get into the third round, which I think is important for him right now, just to get some reps, to be out there, to make some cuts, to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, Zalatoris, 68 to get in, play a little hero ball on the number. Keegan Bradley, 68 to get in, a little hero ball from him. But yeah, let's see the betting favorites, Josh. See what we got. All right, there you go. Co-favorites at the top.
Oh, okay. I don't agree with Jaeger.
I agree with you. There's way too much golf left for him to be the co-favorite at 4-1.
Yeah, like if this was Saturday or if this was Friday night, okay. Taught me into it, but round two, I don't know.
Højgaard, Jaeger. Co-favorites at 4-1. Finau, 7.5. Xander at 10. Dietrich and Pavon at 14. Michael Kim, 18. Cantlay, 25. Hideki, 33. Hideki had an ace today. Hideki got in trouble on 17. Hideki, I thought. I guess he still could make a run at this thing, but I thought he was going to get in at 9 or 10 under and really, really have me feeling good about it.
I saw him at 8. What did he finish at? I didn't see the end of his round.
Finished at 7-under. So he shot a 71, 1-under. So he made the ace on 8, birdie on 9, bogey on 15. 17, he made a bogey in which he was his ball was like up against the lip of the bunker. He like couldn't even get like the back of the club on it, basically. Mm. So he makes bogey there. He did make a birdie on 18, but 71 when he was kind of staring, I don't know, 69 at least in the face, which would have gotten him in at 9-under.
Do you like anybody on here?
I think Finau's interesting.
Yeah, that's the only name to me that really. I guess Xander's interesting because he could shoot 64 on Sunday and win or whatever. But
Finau's been really good here. He's starting to play. We're starting to see the upward trend. He's got a good skill set for this golf course. I hate watching him putt. I don't really trust him down the stretch, but I think that when you're talking about him versus Pavon, Dietrich, Jaeger.
Yeah.
Give me Finau.
I want to like Højgaard. I don't like four. If he was like 6-1, right? You could get me into that, but 4-1 it's just a little much. So I think Finau, out of the guys on this list, is the only one that I really like.
Højgaard was 50-1 before the tournament started. Now he's down 4-1.
That seems long for him. He's good. He's a good player.
I bought so before the Ryder Cup last year, I bought a ton of Nikolai Højgaard like autographed cards and like stuff like that because they were super cheap. And I was like, you know, what if he becomes a Ryder Cup hero and I can like flip these later? And he was pretty bad at the Ryder Cup. But then he like immediately won the DP World Tour Championship. Maybe he goes on and wins this thing. I'm like, okay, well, it wasn't exactly how I thought it was going to go down, but I'll take this.
He's 23.
I know.
Is he 24 now?
I don't know, but I own a bunch of his stuff, Nikolai.
I think, and this was a little bit. He's 22. This was a little, I mean, he's 2 years younger, Rick, than Ludwig.
That's kind of crazy.
Everybody's on the Ludwig thing, and I get it. Like, Ludwig is great. Skill set is just off the charts. But Nikolai is, you know, I would say he's not quite there to me with the skill set, but winning's a skill too, and he wins, and he's been very good at the professional level for a while, considering the fact that he's only 22.
He's been a pro for 5 years.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That's what I'm saying. He's very, very good.
Wow. Okay. Well,
and he's gotten better, right? Like if you look at his,
yes.
If you look at his numbers over the last, you know, 2020, he was bad. He got a little better in 2021. He got, I guess, a little worse in 2022, but then he really popped up, was awesome in 2023. And so far he's been really good in 2024. So I just think when you can start to build some momentum at that age, that's special. That's different than what a lot of guys, you know, kind of the career arc of most guys. Mm.
Okay. 36 in the books, 36 more to go. We will be back after round 3 and after round 4 to discuss everything else that happens until we get to the finish line. Big thanks to producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter is available on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.